Welcome to the weekend in this edition of the Florida Roundtable. I'm Bill Mick. You can catch up with me at BillMick.com. Also, you'll find there our podcasts of the Florida Roundtable, top of the page, and just click on Florida Roundtable Podcast. They are there for you. Today, we're going to discuss Alzheimer's disease, something that's impacted families across the country. And if you don't have a family member who has been impacted by Alzheimer's or dementia, you know someone who has, and it's tragic for those families. We're going to speak with Lindsay Taylor, the program manager for Central Florida at Alzheimer's.org. We're going to take a look at the disease, its impact on families, the treatments, prevention, and advancement in resources available to families today on the Florida Roundtable here on the Florida News Network.
Do you love going on a cruise, or have you always dreamt on going on the cruise vacation of your life? With dozens of cruise companies, who do you call to find the right vacation and deal for you? Now you can make one phone call and shop all the best deals on every single cruise line in the world. You can't get that by calling one cruise line. We have them all, with experts that know the ins and outs of every cruise ship and can tell you the best cruise for your vacation needs. Our cruise packages start at $149. Plus, we offer free internet, free guest packages, and cash back deals. So now is your chance to book the cruise of your lifetime. Call the cruise hotline right now and shop every single cruise line in the world. Here's the number. 800-273-1623. 800-273-1623. 800-273-1623. That's 800-273-1623.
Did you and your family lose Florida Medicaid and need health coverage? Check this out. You may be eligible to enroll in a low-cost health plan at healthcare.gov. With the new law, 4 out of 5 customers can find a plan for $10 or less per month with financial help. Healthcare.gov offers quality plans that cover doctor visits, prescriptions, emergency care, and more. Healthcare.gov is here for you. Enroll today for coverage starting the first of next month. Paid for by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
Looking for cheap flights or cheap tickets? Call the low-cost airline travel hotline now for prices so low, we can't publish them anywhere. We'll even save you money with cheap travel deals on hotels, rental cars, even complete travel packages. Call us first for the absolute cheapest prices on U.S. and international airline tickets and hotels. 802-341-4542. 802-341-4542. That's 802-341-4542.
Welcome once again to the Florida Roundtable here on the Florida News Network. I'm Bill Mick. Joining us this weekend is Lindsay Taylor. She's a program manager for Central Florida with Alzheimer's.org. Lindsay, thanks for taking the time joining us this weekend. It's good to have you along.
Absolutely. Thank you for having me.
You bet. Tell me how Lindsay Taylor got involved with Alzheimer's.org. Not to be insulting, you seem a little young to be engaged in the Alzheimer's thing.
Sure. Well, I've kind of always worked in Alzheimer's for a few different reasons. One, my degree's in gerontology, or the study of aging. Mm-hmm. And unfortunately, Alzheimer's and aging do go hand in hand a little bit. I've worked in the senior nonprofit world for most of my career. I worked in some brain health and dementia research for a little bit. But probably most importantly, I've had 3 grandparents with Alzheimer's or dementia. So I've seen firsthand the sometimes devastating impact that can have, not only on that person who has the disease, but maybe more so their family and their caregivers.
It's very trying for a family, there's no doubt. My mom, before she passed, was showing early stages of dementia. Not bad, but she had some medications that were helping to stave that off. And she was pretty much right there with us until she passed. And it was a joy to have her and to be able to interact with her as we did. Every time I would travel to West Virginia, Mom and I would spend countless hours playing cards around her kitchen table like we'd always done since I was growing up. And she engaged there even when she was having trouble remembering other things. So that was great. But I've seen people suffer with their family members, and they suffer themselves too.
Absolutely.
So it's a major, and it's a traumatic event for families. Give us a general overview of Alzheimer's.org and what the organization's goals are in that regard, either with the disease or with the family members and helping them.
Yeah, so the Alzheimer's Association is a national nonprofit that works to provide care and support to people who are dealing with dementia and Alzheimer's disease. But we also work to accelerate global research surrounding dementia and Alzheimer's and work on early detection and early diagnosis of those diseases and risk reduction.
There have been progresses recently, and we'll talk about those, explore those more a little bit later in the show, but it does take money to fund the research and to have all the information available. How big is the support in researching the disease? It's like you almost need a group out there and a cause in order to advance the research the way you need to.
Absolutely. It is huge. And actually, the Alzheimer's Association is the largest nonprofit funder of Alzheimer's research in the world. So it is a humongous focus of ours. We're trying to work towards a cure someday.
Is the community pretty large that's doing the research, the research opportunity? How many locations or how many universities are involved? How does that work?
Hundreds, and really all over the world, not just here in Florida or in the U.S. The Alzheimer's research field is very, very large.
And progress in recent years been pretty decent. I've heard of new medications and the like.
We do. It's actually felt like a very exciting time for Alzheimer's research because of some of those new medications that I think we'll get into a little bit later.
Yeah, I saw some that really helped my mom during that time with, again, early stages that she was dealing with, nothing especially severe, and we were tickled to death those were there and just able to provide that kind of assistance. How do folks first come to your attention at Alzheimer's.org? Is it because they're doing some research because of a family member, or?
It could be. There's a lot of different ways people get to us, because I'm doing community education out in our local community a lot at senior centers, schools, clubs, all types of places. But probably most often people come to us through our 24/7 helpline. It's answered by master level clinicians, and they provide advice and support and resources and anything the person may need. And that number is 800-272-3900.
800-272-3900 for folks who are looking to get information. Your family's in a situation, that's what you're looking for. Lindsay Taylor is with us. She is the program manager for Central Florida with Alzheimer's.org. And we will continue talking this disease that impacts so many and the hopeful signs that are out there this weekend on the Florida Roundtable.
Life can be full of risks. One thing you shouldn't take a risk with ever is your family's health insurance. If you're self-employed or you now need affordable health insurance, you need to make this free call right now and see how the Health Insurance Helpline can help you get it.
800-398-0651. 800-398-0651. 800-398-0651. That's 800-398-0651.
Boating restricted zones are an important part of ensuring safety on Florida's waterways. In idle speed, no wake zones, vessels must operate at a minimum speed that will maintain headway and steerage with no visible wake. In slow speed, minimum wake zones, vessels must operate fully off plane and a speed which is making little or no wake. In either zone, vessels should be completely settled in the water, regardless of speed. For more information on this and other safe boating topics, visit myfwc.com.
Hello, I'm Hector Elizondo, Emmy Award-winning actor, and I want to talk to you about getting older. My body hurts, my joints ache, and sometimes I forget.
I forget that doing all your own scenes for a movie isn't always the best decision, especially when you're galloping side-saddle down a countryside road on a horse named Archibello, who seems to have only one speed, high. And pulling on his reins only seems to encourage him to go even faster. So, of course, my body hurts and my joints ache, but it's not because of my age. It's because I'm living my life. Oh, Archibello!
Don't let life pass you by. Take care of your brain health. It may just help you stay on top of your game.
As soon as this scene wraps, I'm going to kiss the ground, thank Archibello for his outstanding performance, feed him a carrot, and visit brainhealth.gov.
Find out how you can make the most of your brain as you age at brainhealth.gov.
Welcome back to this edition's this weekend's edition of the Florida Roundtable. Bill Mick with Lindsay Taylor, the program manager for Central Florida for Alzheimer's.org. Lindsay, as we talk about Alzheimer's, let's jump into the impact to first patients and then families and everything that's involved there. You mentioned detection and diagnosis and getting that as early as you can, but those seem to be symptoms that they come on slowly, kind of unnoticeable, I guess.
It can be, yeah. So Alzheimer's disease is progressive, so meaning it gets worse over time. So those symptoms start out pretty minor and get more severe as time goes on. I think it's important, too, for us to maybe clarify. A lot of us use Alzheimer's and dementia interchangeably, but they're a little bit different here.
Right.
So dementia is the overall umbrella category for that collection of symptoms, like changes in our memory, our thinking, and our behavior. And Alzheimer's disease is just one cause of dementia, but it is the most common cause. We think it makes up anywhere from 60 to 80%. Of all dementia cases, and it is progressive. It goes beyond normal aging, and it is eventually fatal.
Do we have we determined an actual cause for Alzheimer's? What is actually causing it to occur, or do we know what's happening in the brain as it advances?
We know what's happening in the brain, and we have some ideas of what could be causing the disease, but that it's multifaceted, right? There's not going to be just one cause in the end. But what we see in the brain is amyloid plaques build up in the brain. And amyloid is a protein, it's a sticky substance, and it can collect in the brain, kind of stick together. It disrupts the communication between our neurons in our brain and eventually causes our brain cells to die. And that amyloid plaque is the hallmark change in the brain we see with the disease.
And what's going to manifest in a person's behavior as this occurs? What are families going to notice, and in what kind of order?
Well, we have 10 main warning signs we think of that we want to watch out for Alzheimer's and dementia. The first one is really memory loss that's disrupting your daily life. And so this needs to go beyond just you forget a name here and there, but you're able to remember it later.
Yeah, because if it's anything else, I've had it my whole life. Yeah.
Right. So some small changes in our memory and our cognitive functioning as we age is completely normal. If we've been alive 80 years, our brain's been working for 80 years, it can get a little tired.
Sure.
But with Alzheimer's and dementia, we commonly see at first you start forgetting recently learned information. So they'll likely be able to talk about their first grade best friend, but maybe won't remember what time you just told them 10 minutes ago we were going to have lunch. And that's commonly one of the first signs that we see.
Okay.
Then we have challenges in planning and solving problems. So people with Alzheimer's and dementia might start to have changes in their ability to develop and follow a plan or work with numbers. So this commonly shows up in maybe they can't keep track of their monthly bills, or they can't follow their favorite recipe anymore, the steps in the recipe. And usually it starts to take much longer to do things than it did before.
Okay.
Then we have difficulty completing familiar tasks. So this could look like you go to the same church every Sunday, and one Sunday you don't know which way to turn at the stop sign, or you don't remember the rules to your favorite game.
Now, do these all manifest at once, or do they come in some kind of order, or can it be any combination?
It can be any combination. We certainly don't have to have all 10 of these showing. If we have just one that's impacting our ability to kind of get through our daily life, we want to have a memory evaluation done.
All right. Let's talk about the others then. What's fourth on your list?
Confusion with time and place. So they can lose track of dates, seasons, the passage of time, and maybe they'll be somewhere and forget where they are or not remember how they got there. And then we have difficulty with visual images and spatial relationships. So some people with Alzheimer's disease experience vision changes, and that can cause trouble with balance, trouble reading, maybe difficulty determining distance, color, and contrast. So this most commonly causes obvious issues in driving or reading. Then problems with words and speaking and writing is the sixth warning sign. Maybe they will stop in the middle of the conversation and have no idea how to continue. Maybe they'll continually repeat themselves. And we might start hearing things like bring me that yellow thingy or calling a watch a wrist clock. They know what the item is, but they're having struggles.
So recall of commonly known things they've been aware of their whole life, but all of a sudden that word's not there anymore.
Absolutely. And they know what they're talking about. They just don't have the word for it.
Okay, I got you.
And then misplacing things and losing the ability to retrace steps is number 7. So we start to see people with dementia might put things in unusual places, which causes them to lose them. And they may start to accuse other people of stealing their items, especially as we move into the later stages of the disease.
Mm-hmm.
But if you lose your keys all the time, like me, I do,
yeah,
you're completely fine as long as you can retrace your steps. But if you started finding your key in the freezer all the time, or you're looking at your key and you don't know what it's for, then we would be more concerned and want to have a memory test done.
Sure.
8 is decreased in poor judgment. So this most commonly comes up in dealing with money, or in paying less attention to grooming and hygiene and keeping ourselves clean. We have withdrawing from work or social activities. And that's kind of self-explanatory there, but it could be because they're having some difficulties in holding and following conversations, or maybe they're a little embarrassed to some of the symptoms they're noticing in themselves.
Mm-hmm.
And then 10 is changes in mood and personality. So people with Alzheimer's and dementia may commonly become more confused, suspicious, depressed, and anxious, and they might get easily upset when they're taken out of their comfort zone.
What happens when the family starts seeing some of these or one of these very regularly? And I can imagine, go back to my mom. She could be very defiant if she had her mind made up of what she was going to do, how she was going to do it, and there were things she would not budge on. I can imagine this gets very difficult for families at times.
Absolutely. And that can be a very difficult conversation to have. If you were a family member noticing some of these things, I would advise to kind of keep a little journal, write down what it is that's happening and when you're noticing it and how many times you're noticing it. And then try to approach them gently, you know, not like an intervention, not like you've been doing all these things wrong, but just say, I've been noticing some of these things. And we can get a memory evaluation done. We're lucky here in the state of Florida, we have memory disorder clinics throughout the state, and they do free memory screenings to see if you're functioning normally for your age and education
level.
Really?
No charge screenings?
No charge, absolutely. So those are paid for through the Florida Department of Elder Affairs, and you can find the locations on their website. But yeah, it can be a very difficult conversation to have, and you know, older adults are adults, right? They can make bad decisions too. So in the end, it is their decision if they want to have a memory evaluation done. Something I kind of try to remind people is there's other things that can cause dementia-like symptoms that aren't Alzheimer's, like thyroid disorders, hormone imbalances, vitamin deficiencies, urinary tract infections, depression. There's a ton of things that can cause memory loss and cognitive functioning symptoms that are completely treatable or completely reversible. So we would want to know if we have one of those.
Oh, most certainly. And maybe that's a good tack for people to take. Said, look, there are other things that are in play. It doesn't have to be worst case scenario at the first symptom.
Right. We might want to leave out the word Alzheimer's and dementia altogether because they are scary words for people.
Oh, there's no doubt in my mind. You mentioned getting early diagnosis and then potentially treatment. I talked about treatment my mother was on, was not going to prevent it, but they thought at least that it would keep mom from getting worse. And mm-hmm. We perceived that to be the case. Is that how this is working out in many cases?
Yeah. So like I was saying earlier, it is a really exciting time in these Alzheimer's medications. Up until a couple years ago, we only had medications that could treat the symptoms of the disease. They did nothing to slow it down. They did nothing to stop it. Could make it feel like it was slowing down because those outward symptoms aren't showing. But if we had looked inside the brain, the disease is still running its course through the brain.
Mm-hmm.
And we still have those drugs today and they're still being prescribed. But last year, Leqembi is a new drug that received traditional FDA, Food and Drug Administration approval. And it is targeting the underlying biology of the disease, that amyloid beta, those amyloid plaques we were talking about.
Mm-hmm.
And in doing so, it's actually slowing down the progression of the disease. It's still not a cure. There's no cure for Alzheimer's disease currently, but it can give people more time to spend with their family, more time recognizing their family and being able to live independently. So these drugs are really exciting. And we just had another one approved in July of this year, July 2024, called Kisunla. And same thing, it's a monoclonal antibody, this one, but it is targeting those amyloid plaques and giving people more time. The thing about these drugs is they have to be taken in the early stages. So either mild cognitive impairment or early dementia stages of Alzheimer's disease, and it does have to be Alzheimer's disease. And this is one of the reasons this early detection and paying attention to these warning signs is so important, because once our brain cells die, it's really difficult, if not impossible, to get them back. So we have to try to slow the disease down before it's caused too much brain cell loss.
So as these families become aware and they start thinking mom or dad has this issue, advice for them in dealing with that parent, that patient that can get help, but you got to get them there. And that can be a hard conversation.
Yeah. And there's a lot of strategies to try. You know your parent or your loved one best. One of them could be what we just said of saying maybe it's not dementia. It could be a vitamin deficiency that we can get that checked out. Sometimes just lumping in the doctor's visit with a more fun activity, like going to their favorite restaurant afterwards, if you promise that's going to happen next, that's mm-hmm. a strategy some people try. Or you could say, I'm going to get my memory evaluated so I have a baseline of where my brain's functioning. How about you come with me and we'll do it together? And you can both go get that done at a memory disorder clinic.
Is that common for younger folks, younger adults, to be able to do that for that baseline reading?
It is possible. And it's also possible if you try to participate in clinical research. So when you're looking at clinical research, they do a memory screening on you first to see if you qualify. That could be another way to get your parents involved, is if you say, I'm participating in this really cool research, or I'm going to see if I'm able to. Do you want to come with me and get tested to see if you're able to participate as well?
So there are ways to be able to work with that and around that and hopefully get that parent or other loved one the help that you're looking for. That's very good. Lindsay Taylor is with us. She is the program manager for Central Florida of Alzheimer's.org. And we'll continue exploring the disease, the resources and treatments that are available for the patients and for the families, plus some events that are going on around Alzheimer's.org that let you get involved. I've got friends who are involved because they lost parents to this disease. We're back in moments on the Roundtable.
Looking for cheap flights or cheap tickets? Call the low-cost airline travel hotline now for prices so low, we can't publish them anywhere. We'll even save you money with cheap travel deals on hotels, rental cars, even complete travel packages. Call us first for the absolute cheapest prices on U.S. and international airline tickets and hotels.
802-341-4542. 802-341-4542. That's 802-341-4542.
Join us in celebrating democracy on Tuesday, September 17th for National Voter Registration Day. No matter your political views, National Voter Registration Day is a chance to get yourself, your family, friends, and community vote ready for election 2024. With federal, state, and local races coming up this November, your voice can make a difference up and down the ballot. For more information, visit NationalVoterRegistrationDay.org. That's NationalVoterRegistrationDay.org.
Hi, I'm Johnny Erickson Tata. Growing up with a brother with autism, Sarah Crump witnessed firsthand how kids with disabilities felt left out by their peers. It's why at the age of 15, Sarah approached her cheerleading coach with an idea to include girls with disabilities on her school's cheer team. Well, what started out as an inclusive high school cheer team in a small town in Iowa has led to what is now known as Sparkle Effect, a thriving nonprofit with over 180 cheer teams across the United States, bringing students with and without disabilities together through cheerleading. The result? More confidence, higher grades, and better school attendance for kids with disabilities. And for those without a disability, new friends and a greater empathy. You want to learn more? Well, visit disabilitycampaign.org, where we have posted a link to the fabulous work known as the Sparkle Effect.
We're here early before they wake up. We stay late. We stay informed. We invest in the latest technology.
We take the time to train the next generation of doctors and nurses. We work together to make sure we heal their bodies and their minds.
We do this not because it's our job, but because this is about our veterans' lives. This is our mission. More than 300,000 of us working as one, together with families and loved ones. No matter where they live in this country, we'll be there.
We all come together and stand together to serve our veterans. We stand strong, united. Stand with us in caring for our veterans.
Imagine. Imagine being denied an apartment because of your religion, or your race, or because you have children, or a disability.
It's so wrong.
Yes, but who has the power to stop this?
You do. Each of us has the power. The law is on your side. It's illegal for landlords to discriminate because of race, color, religion, sex, national origin, disability, or familial status. If you suspect that you have experienced housing discrimination, file a complaint with HUD immediately so we can investigate it. Fair housing is your right.
Use it.
To learn more, visit hud.gov/fairhousing. That's hud.gov/fairhousing. Or call 1-800-669-9777. 1-800-669-9777. A public service message from HUD in partnership with the National Fair Housing Alliance.
Bill Mick back with you on the Florida Roundtable. Hope you're having a great weekend wherever you are in Florida. Lindsay Taylor is with us. She's the program manager for Central Florida for Alzheimer's.org. Lindsay, let's talk about the families, because it can be very difficult for a family of an Alzheimer's patient to deal with the parent, the loved one, whoever it may be, and it can be different for the entire family. If a family's experiencing this and they're looking for resources or assistance, what kind of things are they looking for, and where do they best find them?
Okay, well, there are honestly probably many more people in Florida dealing with this than people might think. We have over 580,000 Floridians living with the disease, which leads to 840,000 caregivers of people with Alzheimer's. Wow. Just in the state of Florida. And it is a very stressful job. So resources they might be looking for could just be, maybe they know nothing about the disease and they're faced with this diagnosis and they don't know what to do next. It could be they need some respite care, which is something that provides the caregiver a break. So it could either be in the home for just a couple hours. It can be an adult daycare or an adult day program and things like that. There's a lot of other resources too, and caregivers can access those by calling our helpline we talked about earlier, mm-hmm. or visiting our website, alz.org. On that website, we have a lot of education information, but also a community resource finder where you put in your zip code, you put in what it is you're looking for, and it'll give you a list of resources of that in your local community. It's also how caregivers can access our caregiver support groups. And we kind of think every dementia caregiver should be in a support group, because you hear from people who are dealing with similar situations and you can kind of commiserate, but also get some advice from others or provide advice from to others.
While we're at that, let's talk about the stresses these family members face. What kind of things are they going to go through as they're dealing with a family member with Alzheimer's?
Well, those 840,000 caregivers we just talked about, we saw that 66% of them had a chronic health condition themselves, 29% of them had depression, and 14% of them were in poor physical health themselves. So they already have all of that going on. They have their own lives to live, right? Mm-hmm. But as Alzheimer's and dementia progress into the later stages, eventually people often need 24-hour supervision or 24-hour care. And if you have a job as a caregiver, that can be very, very difficult, right? So
sure.
People with Alzheimer's also may commonly sundown or get more agitated at night. They might stay up all night. If you have a job, that's impacting your ability to rest too, because you're up with your loved one all night. And we're really seeing this impact hard on people in that sandwich generation we talk about, where it's someone who's caring for a child while also simultaneously caring for an aging parent.
That would be tough.
Yeah. Yeah.
Hey, you mentioned that the stresses on those people. What are the common stresses they face in dealing with the patient? Is it the anger? Is it the not being aware of what's happening around them as they used to be? What's common for those folks?
And it really depends on what symptoms their loved one is showing at any given time. But I think, kind of funny enough, one of the more frustrating things is that a person with Alzheimer's repeats themselves a lot. Asks the same questions over and over, tells the same stories over and over, and that wears on the caregiver if they've said for the 30th time today what time a doctor's appointment is tomorrow. So that's a stress that they're dealing with. But certainly, depending where the person is, what stage they're in of the disease, it could be they're not sleeping. It could be you're having to bathe them and toilet them, and that can be very stressful and very hard on the body if you're having to lift them on and off of a toilet or in and out of a shower seat. It really depends what stage of the disease it's in, the loved one's in, but it's kind of difficult all around.
For the younger adults listening this weekend, are there things you can do to prevent the onset of dementia, Alzheimer's, whatever it may be, as for your general health, as you're growing up, as you're aging? Are there things that you should be cognizant of that could be preventative measures, I guess?
Absolutely. And this is probably going to be one of the more important things we talk about today, because we're seeing that 2/3 of Americans have at least one major potential risk factor for dementia, and that upwards of 40% of dementia cases could be attributable to modifiable risk factors.
Really?
So some of the risk factors we see in dementia are genetics, age, gender, race. We can't do anything about any of those, right? But there are these modifiable risk factors that we can do something about. And it really has to do with living a healthy lifestyle. So challenging our mind, making sure we're continuing to work our brain by learning a new skill, maybe try something artistic, learn a new language. If you do the crossword every day, that's great, but maybe it's not challenging you so much anymore. So continue seeking new things and adding new things that challenge your mind.
I've got to buy crossword puzzles that don't say easy on the cover. Come on.
I know it feels good when you can finish it fast, but you actually want it to be difficult.
I can imagine. I've actually heard that as a measure to help keep your brain working and thinking. And so it actually can be a preventive measure then, or part of
one. A silly little thing we sometimes say is, have you ever put IKEA furniture together?
No.
You know how your brain feels when you're trying to do that? That's actually the feeling you want to go for, because you're working out your brain. You're strengthening it. And then staying in school. So we've seen that education reduces the risk of cognitive decline. So staying in school as long as we can, pursuing higher level of training when possible, or even if we're an adult or an older adult, taking a class at the local library or a community college or online.
And so brain engagement is a big part of it then.
Brain engagement, is that
what you said?
Yeah, absolutely. So there's this idea of cognitive reserve. And if we strengthen our brain, we create new neural pathways, we are working out our brain, we're thinking in new ways, it can help hopefully reduce our risk of dementia later in life. But if we were to develop dementia, it could ideally help us kind of ward off some of those symptoms for a bit.
Are there other environmental concerns, whether it might be food consumption or other things environmentally that could impact this?
Absolutely. So the diet that is most recommended for keeping your brain healthy right now is a mix between the DASH diet, which is low sodium, and the Mediterranean diet. And I think we hear a lot about that, but that's vegetables, lean meats and proteins, healthy fats like avocado or olive oil instead of butter, eating lower sugar, choosing those types of healthy foods as often as we can. And it doesn't have to be all or nothing, right? If you eat red meat 3 times a week right now. Maybe try going down to 1 time a week. And small changes like that can add up over time. And then physical exercise is really, really important too, especially the kind that is getting your heart rate up and increasing your blood flow. Because every time your heart pumps, blood is going to your brain, and that's what brings it oxygen. That's what nourishes it. So continuing to do physical activity, even if it's just a walk every day.
That's good to hear. Again, resources available to folks once they see something going on here. They can go to ALZ.org, and there are going to be reference material there. Do you have support organizations that you're working with that you refer people to regularly?
Yeah, so in that community resource finder on our website, that is a bunch of local organizations that individuals can be referred to depending on what it is they need. But also our helpline will do that as well, that helpline of 800-272-3900. When people call that, they'll explain what it is that's going on, what it is that they think they need, and that helpline worker may be able to tell you what you actually need, because you don't know what you don't know, right? A lot of caregivers might not know that respite care is even available. Mm-hmm. So calling the helpline is a good way to be connected to resources in your community too.
I have seen some of those adult daycare facilities, and is there a certification process they go through or anything? So you know, hey, when I take mom or dad over here, it's a place I know they're going to be tended to.
Yes, there is a certification process and a licensure that has to be upkept. And they should, I would only choose to go to an adult daycare that's okay with me visiting. If my parent were there, I would want to be allowed to come in and out if I need to. Or even sometimes they'll let you spend a practice day before you sign up to go there. Kind of just try one day out to see how your parent or your loved one likes it.
Are there enough of those facilities around the state, or are they always looking for growth? And is that a potential growth industry, especially in a state that's considered a place where people retire?
Right. I think it can be a growth area in the state. There are a lot of adult day programs already available, but say you're a caregiver who's working, right? If the closest adult daycare is 10 or 15 miles away, that's not going to be ideal for you to bring your parent there before going to work. So it could be an area for more. I think an issue a lot of Floridians face is being able to pay for it, however, because Medicare does not cover any type of long-term care, and this adult day programs do fall under that. So it's often an out-of-pocket expense.
Lindsay Taylor is the program manager for Central Florida with ALZ.org, and we continue talking Alzheimer's in moments here on the Roundtable.
It has been said that everyone has a book in them, but do you have the time or the ability to write your book? Maybe you picked up some skills or had a life experience that you want to pass on in the form of a book to help others. Maybe you want to leave an autobiography for your family, or maybe you've built a successful business and you want to share your story. At Dorrance Publishing Company, we have professional writers who can help turn your book idea into a finished manuscript quickly and affordably. A Dorrance ghostwriter can provide as much or as little help as you need to complete your book. You'll work directly with your ghostwriter to finish your book faster than you ever could on your own. It's easy to become a published author. Call Dorrance now to learn more. 800-485-6003. 800-485-6003. 800-485-6003. Call right now. That number is 800-485-6003.
Wearing a life jacket or personal flotation device is one of the most important decisions you can make while boating. Today, there are several types of life jackets available, so you can find one that's comfortable and convenient to wear no matter what you're doing. And thanks to incredible advances in inflatable technology and innovative materials development, safety and comfort can both be a priority. Stay safe, stay comfortable, wear it Florida. For more information on this and other safe boating topics, visit myfwc.com.
Life can be full of risks. One thing you shouldn't take a risk with ever is your family's health insurance. If you're self-employed or you now need affordable health insurance, you need to make this free call right now and see how the Health Insurance Helpline can help you get it.
800-398-0651. 800-398-0651. 800-398-0651. That's 800-398-0651.
Back on the roundtable, Bill Mick with Lindsay Taylor, who is the program manager for Central Florida for ALZ.org. And Lindsay, as you've got friends, you've got family, you've got folks you know who are engaged with someone who's dealing with Alzheimer's, dementia, whatever the case may be. And is there a way for folks who maybe have an interest in doing what you're doing, being engaged in helping families or helping to push things toward research, is there a way for folks to get involved with you guys?
Yes, we are always looking for volunteers to help us in a whole lot of different areas. So I personally utilize volunteers to go out and provide community education. They're completely trained in education presentations to give, but that's one volunteer area. We have volunteer support group facilitators. We have volunteer advocates who work with us to share their story if they were a caregiver or if they're living with the disease, maybe go to Tallahassee and DC to help us advocate for new bills and things that we believe Floridians living with Alzheimer's and dementia need or could benefit from. So those are all options. We do a lot of fundraising throughout the year through our Walk to End Alzheimer's and The Longest Day. And a lot of that money goes towards Alzheimer's research and providing care and support in the community. So that's another way people can get involved, is through doing events to fundraise.
And if they want to get involved, best thing to do, go to the website and find out?
Yep, go to the website, alz.org, or call that 24/7 helpline, and they will connect you to your local opportunities and the person you need to speak with.
And again, that phone number is 800-272-3900, 800-272-3900. You mentioned The Longest Day. Tell me a little bit about that.
That's the summer solstice. It's the longest day of the year in June, and we use it as a fundraising day. So people will plan their own events surrounding this day. They don't always have to happen exactly on the solstice day, but it could be a bake sale. It could be playing bingo. It could be sewing things and selling them. There's a bunch of different things that people choose to do to raise money for the Alzheimer's Association, which in turn goes towards most often Alzheimer's research.
Very good. And you mentioned that you've got the Walk to End Alzheimer's, and that happens at various locations, I'm assuming different times around the country, a couple of them coming up here in Florida.
Yep. So we have actually 600 Walks to End Alzheimer's across the country, but here in Florida, we have 25 walks, ranging from Pensacola all the way down through the Florida Keys, and they all happen in the fall. So if that's something people are looking to get involved in, they can go to alz.org/walk. These are really fun days. It's a very short walk, so people of all ages and all abilities can participate. But leading up to the walk, people create a team. They use that team to raise money. And then they go to the walk and celebrate after raising that money and celebrate with us. And there's also resources available at the walk that you can go and learn about.
So you've got vendors there at the walk, whether they're bringing resources or whatever there, right?
We do. We do have vendors at the walk. It's a very fun morning. It's just a couple hours, but it's an exciting day. Everyone chooses a flower. We have these pinwheel flowers that people choose and carry as they walk. And each color means something different. So we have yellow for caregivers, purple for if you've lost someone to the disease, blue if you're living with the disease, and orange if you just support a world without Alzheimer's and dementia. And so that's really fun to see everyone walking with their pinwheels. And for example, me and my family, one of my grandmothers passed away from Alzheimer's earlier this year, and we're using the walk as kind of a memorial day for her. We're making shirts and we're raising money in her name. So it's a really beautiful thing to do if you have lost someone to the disease.
I am seeing the shirts. I'm seeing purple wristbands. I'm seeing purple banners on social media. So there is awareness out there, and it does seem to be growing.
Absolutely.
That's good to see. And you have a couple of events in Central Florida that are coming up. Do I understand that correctly?
We do. They happen various dates throughout the fall. We have a walk in Orlando on Lake Eola. We have one in the Space Coast at Cocoa Riverfront Park. We have one in Volusia County at the Jackie Robinson Ballpark. And like I said, 25 going on throughout the state. So the list of those can be found on the website.
Okay, it's good that they're there and we're able to do that. As we continue on the Florida Roundtable, we'll talk more about Alzheimer's and where it looks like it's going in the future. And it actually, from what I hear from you, Lindsay, it's a very hopeful prognosis that there's progress to be made here.
Yes.
That is good to hear. And we continue on the Florida Roundtable here on the Florida News Network with Lindsay Taylor, Program Manager for Alzheimer's.org, ALZ.org of Central Florida. It's something that can be devastating to a family, but there are resources. Folks are here to help, and we'll share more of that with you as we close up the Florida Roundtable when we continue in moments right here on the Florida News Network.
Make your garden come alive with Quality Green Specialists. Discover Quality Green's beautiful nursery with thousands of fruit trees, fruiting plants, flowers, herbs, and vegetables. Enjoy an explosion of color and see amazing results in your garden. Quality Green has the very best in organic-based, sustainable products to grow everything super productive, strong, and healthy. Quality Green Specialists, 335 West Michigan Avenue in DeLand. Conveniently open 9 to 4 daily. Online at QualityGreenSpecialists.com.
Healthcare.gov is here for you when life happens. If you lost your health coverage because of turning 26, going off Medicaid, leaving your job, or moving, you could be eligible to enroll in new coverage now. And if you need to update your coverage because of marriage or having a baby, you could also be eligible. But don't wait. There's a limited time to enroll. Check your eligibility at healthcare.gov today. Life happens. Get covered. Paid for by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
Looking for cheap flights or cheap tickets? Call the low-cost airline travel hotline now for prices so low, we can't publish them anywhere. We'll even save you money with cheap travel deals on hotels, rental cars, even complete travel packages. Call us first for the absolute cheapest prices on U.S. and international airline tickets and hotels.
802-341-4542. 802-341-4542. That's 802-341-4542.
Join us in celebrating democracy on Tuesday, September 17th for National Voter Registration Day. No matter your political views, National Voter Registration Day is a chance to get yourself, your family, friends, and community vote ready for election 2024. With federal, state, and local races coming up this November, your voice can make a difference up and down the ballot. For more information, visit NationalVoterRegistrationDay.org. That's NationalVoterRegistrationDay.org.
Shortness of breath, patient's confused. Temp 102.
He just had an infection. What's going on?
He's becoming septic.
Antibiotics started. Bed ready. Let's move him.
Infections can lead to a deadly chain reaction in your body called sepsis. Very quickly, sepsis can cause tissue damage, organ failure, and even death. If you know the risks, can spot the symptoms, and act fast, then you can get ahead of sepsis. Learn more at cdc.gov/sepsis.
My muscles ached. I was tired all the time.
My son had a full-blown asthma attack. It came out of nowhere.
The unsettling thing about some symptoms is
I had a fever and these terrible headaches.
You don't always know what's causing them.
It was Lyme disease from a tick bite.
I had Zika virus from a mosquito.
He had a reaction to cockroach allergens.
Threats to your health can come from unexpected places. Get the facts. Visit pestworld.org. A public service message from the National Pest Management Association.
As we close up the roundtable for this weekend, we're talking with Lindsay Taylor, Program Manager for Central Florida of ALZ.org, the Alzheimer's Foundation. And Lindsay, resources are always key, and state, federal governments get involved. You've mentioned we've had some successes in Florida recently as far as helping determine getting bills passed or getting funding in play for those kind of resources. What's been going on?
Yeah, it feels like we are in a really exciting time with a lot of momentum. In this past year here, we've seen the passage of the Alzheimer's disease and related dementia training for law enforcement and correctional officers be signed. That bill goes into effect on October 1st, and it's going to make sure that these officers are trained in techniques for recognizing dementia and behavioral symptoms and how to communicate and how to de-escalate without using physical restraints and things like that. We've seen the passage of coverage for biomarker testing signed, and that bill will cover biomarker testing for certain diseases, including a future FDA-approved blood test for Alzheimer's that we see on the horizon in research here.
That's interesting.
Yeah, and we received nearly $500,000 in funding for the Alzheimer's Association's Brain Bus, which is a mobile unit that travels around the state providing education, especially in rural and diverse communities. We've seen a $6 million increase in the Alzheimer's Disease Initiative and the Community Care for the Elderly programs, which this funding will help reduce the waitlist times in the state of Florida. And these programs provide vital services to caregivers like the respite care we were talking about earlier. And we finally saw a $1.5 million increase in funding for the Ed and Ethel Moore Alzheimer's Research Program. And that focuses on research to improve the health of Floridians through prevention and better diagnosis of Alzheimer's disease. So it's been an exciting year.
That's fantastic. What you may not know about me, in real life before radio, I was a policeman, and we had very limited training on dealing with folks who had any kind of mental situation going on, whether they were in distress or whether it was a disease situation. That sounds like that could be very valuable to those men and women on the job.
Right. I definitely think so. We're excited about that.
Yeah. And again, the things you don't know about how someone reacts when they're having a particular condition or situation impacting their behavior, learning that has got to be a great key for and be helpful in those situations. And people talk about de-escalation tactics. Knowledge helps you get there. Really does.
Yeah. Police might unfortunately have to deal with people with Alzheimer's pretty commonly, because people with Alzheimer's, unfortunately, are known to wander and can get lost out in the community and need the support of officers.
I had an uncle who did that very thing. He left a facility where he was staying in the latter stages of his life and was in his wheelchair rolling down a busy street. It was very, very difficult for him and for my cousins, his family, that were trying to get him the best care that they could, and that could be difficult. So again, ALZ.org is where you'll find the information you're looking for. Lindsay Taylor, it has been an informative and interesting hour, and I thank you for spending the time with us. I really appreciate that.
Thank you.
As you look toward the coming year or so, any major events or developments that you see coming that are especially promising to you?
Well, we're excited about that blood test I talked about. We're excited to see this walk season and raise more money for research. In 2023, the Alzheimer's Association invested $100 million into research initiatives across the world. So we're excited to continue that research and see what other breakthroughs can be made, building off the momentum of these new drugs that have come out.
Very good. Lindsay Taylor, thanks once again. Very informative. It's a good hour of the Florida Roundtable. Wish you and your colleagues all the best as you continue the fight as far as Alzheimer's go. We'll see you next week on the Roundtable.
You've been listening to the Florida Roundtable with Bill Mick, a news and public affairs presentation of the Florida News Network. The views and opinions expressed during this program are those of the participants and do not necessarily reflect the views of this station management, owners, or sponsors. For questions or concerns, contact Florida Roundtable at fnnonline.net.